Good evening and a good chodesh to all. We thank the Gottliebs for opening their home, for hosting this shiur. The shiur should be a zchus for Machla Charna Bas Zalman, Charna Machla Bas Zalman, and as well for my own grandmother, whose yahrzeit was today, Leah Bas Ramesha. This is Rish Chodesh Ad Rishayin, which means that really it's an extra month in the year, a Hebrew leap year in the lunar calendar. And usually every Chodesh, when we get together and speak about something, we speak on Rish Chodesh, we like to do something that pertains to that month. So on Nisan we'll talk about Pesach, and Adar we usually talk about Purim, and Kislev about Chanukah, and so on and so forth. So this year we have an extra month, so really we could talk about anything. It's a free month, an extra month, to talk about something that would seem not to pertain to a particular month, but really runs the whole gamut of the year, and something relevant to every day of the month, and I think every day of the year. It's something that is relevant to small children, to infants, something relevant to older people, to women, to men. Everyone can and probably is affected by what we'll talk about tonight, by jealousy. For those that are not, feel they're not affected by jealousy at all, they really don't have to be here. Okay, but I'm sure those that came just came for their friends who are affected by it, but this way at least they'll have what to tell them over. It's like the famous story about someone selling the book the Chofetz Chaim wrote on Lashon Hara, and the woman said, no, I don't need it, but I know my friend needs it because she talks a lot of Lashon Hara. So she bought it for her, which is very kind of her. So those that feel that this anything that we mention tonight really doesn't pertain to them, at least maybe somebody, maybe a family member, a good friend, will benefit from the thoughts and the ideas that we share tonight, really through the lens of Torah and Chazal, not a lot of psychology here, but there's of course much psychology, and these ideas are already in the Torah and in the Chazal throughout the ages. When a two-year-old sees his sibling or her sibling being picked up and put on the lap of her father or her mother, she starts to scream, she starts to cry. Why is she crying? Why is she screaming? Because she's jealous. This two-year-old who can't articulate, who can't even think maturely, feels pain. And when they feel pain, whether it's hunger pain or physical pain, they cry, they call out, they scream. And so too, when they see their older brother or sister being put on the lap of their parent, they feel pain. It's an innate pain, it's natural, and they call out, they start screaming. And that's jealousy. They're jealous of their brother or their sister. Rabbi Fran brings a story, it's a true story, of an older man who's very sick and lying in a hospital bed, immobile, attached to tubes, keeping him alive, helping him breathe, and is terribly depressed, as can be well understood. And he is visited very often by a good friend of his, who always expects his friend to be in a terrible mood. And to his great surprise, he walks in one day, and the man is a little cheerful. He's a little happy. He has some simcha on his face. And he's surprised, and he says, so nice to see that you're happy. You must have heard some good news. And the man meeks out a yes, the patient. He says, really, what is it? Did they find some new medication? Maybe a diagnose for the that you're not as bad off as you thought you were. The man couldn't even proceed to talk anymore. He motioned to his wife, who was sitting next to him on a chair reading a book, that she should tell the friend what put him in a good mood. So she says to the friend, she says, "You remember that competitor of my husband 35 years ago from Detroit? Remember that guy who undercut my husband's business?" And the friend says, "Oh, I remember him. He's the guy that your husband blames all his problems, all his troubles on." So yeah, that's the guy. He says, "We just read in the paper today that he was killed in a car accident." Here's a guy, this is a true story. Here's a guy, he's attached to tubes, doesn't know if he'll live to see the next day, but his enemy, the guy who he had gave him problems years back, is now not his problem anymore. And physically, this changed his demeanor, this changed his mood, and physically this changed him to be in a better mood. So much so, could this midah, this trait of kinnah, of jealousy, of another person, another human being, can affect all people, young and old alike. It affects people, it affects societies, it affects countries. It's not enough that we sent up a rocket ship, we sent up a spaceship to outer space, to land on one of the planets. So the Russians have to do it also. What do they have to do it for? Save the money. Give more food to the people who are starving there. Or buy tickets to the Super Bowl. Do something more productive than saying, "No, we have to do it also." There was once an article in the paper. I don't think it's true. It's a joke. If it's funny, you'll laugh. If it's not, please tell me. I'll write it down for the next year. I shouldn't say this. But the Russians came out with a statement. CNN had the statement from the Russians that their archaeologists were digging down, and they dug 1,000 meters down, and they found what looked like telephone wires. So they put out a statement that it's apparent that their ancestors 1,000 years ago already had telephone communications, so advanced with the Russians. So not to be outdone in the U.S. Magazines, a few weeks later it says that the American scientists have dug down 2,000 meters and they found these optical fibers way, way deep down underground. And they've concluded that 2,000 years ago, our ancestors already on this soil had digital communications with one another. So not to be outdone, a few weeks later in the Israeli newspapers, it says the Israeli archaeologists dug down 5,000 meters and they found nothing. And they've concluded that 5,000 years ago, our ancestors were using wireless. So it affects everyone. It affects everyone that we have to outdo and we have to be better and we can't be worse. And what is it? What is it and why is it that it affects us so much? So for those of us that have this midah of kinnah, of jealousy, we could ask, is there any reason we have to change things? Any reason we have to be different than we were before we came in this evening? Well, let's just go about life and do the same thing. We're busy with a lot of other things. Why should we have this extra thing on our mind? Is there anything wrong with having this trait of jealousy, of being jealous of another person? Is there anything wrong with it? Is there any reason we should change it? Does the Torah forbid it? Is it an aveira to be jealous? So I think there's two reasons why it pays to understand this midah, understand what jealousy is, and perhaps find ways to deal with it. And better yet, to curb it, to change it. One is a very practical reason. just from a logical standpoint, it would make sense that we should try to attempt to deal with this mida, get a hold of it, control it, understand it, know when it's surfacing in ourselves, in our own minds and hearts. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara in Shabbos, which says, Mishayesh Baliba Kina, someone who has in his heart the mida of kina, of jealousy, Atzmaisav Markivin, his bones will rot. Now whether it means it's over a slow process, that the bones will decay, or whether it means after life is over, but what he has done to his bones, it will make it that his bones will rot. Umisha'ein baikina, einat smaisa markivin. Someone who does not have jealousy, someone who does not have in his bones jealousy of other people throughout his lifetime, can be assured that his bones will not rot. And there's an interesting story, Chazal say, the Gemara and Shabbos brings it there a little bit, but it's elaborated in a different source, about a person, Rav Nachman, a great rabbi, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. And he had this mound of dirt in his vineyard, and he wanted to get rid of it, so he hired some workers to dig out this mound. And without a bulldozer, just using a shovel and human muscle, took them some time. They worked the whole day. They worked through to the second day. On the second day, they had dug considerably, a few feet down already, and all of a sudden they hear someone talking from inside, from in the ground. And the person said, "Hey, is it time for Tchias HaMesim yet? Is it time for the resurrection of the dead? Because they're uncovering this guy." So they freaked out and they ran away and they went to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak and they said, we were digging and we found a person. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak comes along. This is not a fairy tale. This is a true story. If Chazal brings this, a true story. And he comes there and he says, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm a dead man." He says, "How could you be a dead man? Dead people's bones rot. They decay. They don't stay whole. You're intact. How could you be talking to me?" So this man, a little bit of a wise guy, or maybe he didn't know who Rav Nachman was, he says, "Rabbi, didn't you learn Sefer Mishlei? Never learned Sefer Mishlei? King Solomon's wisdom. Didn't you see what he says over there? He says over there, Urekav Atzamais Kina, that envy is the cause of the rotting of the bones." He says, "I never had envy on anybody. I was never jealous of anybody a day in my life." That's what the guy said. "I was never jealous of anybody." And he took that to heart, what Shlomo HaMelech said. And he saved himself from suffering in the grave. So Chazal already knew it, King Shlomo knew it, Shlomo HaMelech knew this already. Chazal already told us how jealousy could affect us, how it could affect a person. I mentioned that story before, how it affected a person physically. Good old Snoopy.
He's a big fan of this.
It's a one-way relationship. Chazal already taught us in Pirkei Avos that Hakina v'hataiva v'hakavod moisin es ha'adam and min ha'olam, which means that someone who possesses these traits to a fault, someone who's jealous, someone who has excessive, who seeks pleasure excessively or seeks honor excessively, he will be removed from this world. And the many different interpretations, what do you mean removed from which world? This world, the next world. On a simple level, commentators explain that, you see, Chazal understood a couple of thousand years ago that these traits can affect a person. It can affect a person and remove a person from this world. It can actually shorten a person's life. Forget about the spiritual damage that it'll be doing to his neshama, to his soul, but even in this world it could affect a person that it could actually make his life miserable. It makes his life miserable, a person could actually not knowingly harm himself by having this faulty midah. This midah to the, and having it in the wrong side, in the negative aspect of this midah, a person could harm himself. And a mashal, a parable is given, brought in many different svarim. A parable of a person who was a very jealous person, and together with a pleasure seeker, met up with a king. And the king says that, "I will grant you whatever your heart desires. I will grant to one of you. And the other one will get double. So whatever I give to the one who requests, I will give the other one twice as much. I will give him double." So they were in a bind. The jealous guy didn't want to say, "Well, I want $1 million, because then his friend will have $2 million. He can't live with that. And the pleasure seeker says, "Well, whatever I ask for, the other guy's going to have more, and I want more of that." So, didn't know what to do. Until the pleasure seeker convinced the other guy, the jealous guy, the envious one, "You choose first. You say the wish, and I'll get double." And the jealous guy says to the king, "Okay, I want you to poke out one of my eyes." So Chazal are not trying to be morbid, but they understand that this is maybe an extreme example, but this is how a person who does not have this midah under control, this is where it could lead to. It could lead to a person harming himself. I think the best way to understand what this midah does to a person is really by reading the words of the Mesilas Yesharim. Reading the words of Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato. And Ramchal tells us that kinah really is only a lack of understanding and foolishness. Hakinah gam hi eina ela chisaron yediyah v'sichlus. It's foolishness. It's just a lack of understanding. Why? He says when you think about it, he says, ki ein hamakane marviach klum. The one who is jealous of somebody else gains nothing. I don't get anything from being jealous of somebody else. I don't have his smarts. I don't have his car. I don't have his children. I don't have his spouse. Nothing comes to me by being jealous of another person. I don't have his grades. I don't have his looks. Nothing comes to me by being jealous. And what's more, and whatever that person has, I don't make him lose by the fact that I'm jealous. So Ramchal says, look into it for a second. He says, it doesn't make sense. It's only foolishness. It's lack of understanding. He says, when I'm jealous of somebody else, no gain comes to me. I'm not different from the way I woke up in the morning by going to sleep jealous. And the person I'm jealous of has not changed an iota. The only thing one loses, the one who does lose, is the person himself. Because the person himself, affects his health, affects his emotional well-being, affects the people around him who have to deal with him that now he's in a bad mood. That's what jealousy does. So we have to ask ourselves a question, that if jealousy is such a terrible thing, if kinna is such a harmful and destructive force, a person could ruin themselves, a person can harm themselves and be miserable their whole life. So why did Hashem make kinah? Why did Hashem make this midah inside of us of kinah, that a person can be jealous of somebody else? Because we have to understand, there's no midah that Hashem made in this world that can't be used for good or for bad. A midah is like a gun. A gun certainly could be used in a destructive manner, but it could also be used for the good. It could be used to protect. It could be used to hunt. So a midah is, yes, like a loaded pistol, that if it's used in the wrong way, well, somebody certainly can get hurt. And it could be the person himself. And if it's used in a constructive manner, then it has its place and it's good. And we have Chazal tell us about that as well. Kinesayfrim, we'll speak about that in a moment. So no midah in itself is something bad. It's just how we use it. Really depends on us. There's a general rule, a klal about midos in general, which is important to know, since we're dealing with midah, that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach taught. To quote again Shlomo HaMelech, and this is in Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech taught us, Oev kesef lo yizba kesef. Someone who loves money will never be satiated with the amount he has. Oev kesef lo yizba kesef. Someone who likes to have a lot of money, likes to be materially wealthy, they will never have enough. They will be not satiated no matter what they have. Okay? A word from the wise. The Gemara tells us that when a certain rabbinic scholar of Simlai learned this pasuk, he says what this pasuk means is Oev mitzvos lo yizba mitzvos. But someone who loves to do mitzvos, someone who loves to run after good deeds, will never be satiated with the good deeds that he has done. And will always want to do more. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach asked, what was wrong with the simple understanding of the pasuk? What's wrong with saying someone who loves money will never be satiated with the amount he has? What's wrong with what we call the pashut pshat? What's wrong with the simple understanding of the pasuk? You have to say, oh, no, it means mitzvahs. No, you have to be so firm, everything has to be a mitzvah. Just say, so that's what Shlomo Melech is teaching us. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, no. The word kesef could mean money. It could also mean something that we long for. From the word, from the pasuk, nichsof, nichsafti. Something that someone has a longing for, a desire for. So Rav Simlai saw in this pasuk was not simple. It's simple meaning that someone who loves money will never be satiated with the amount he has and always want more money. But rather means something that someone longs for and something that someone wants will never be satiated with that he has. And he will always want more. Now that's true of money, but that's true of mitzvahs also. And that's true of anything. That's true of anything that means Hashem instilled inside every person that something that he wants to do, he'll want to do more of it. Now why did Hashem make us like that? Actually, we have to really thank him for that. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, really have to think as follows. We have a whole Torah. We have to learn much of it. We have 613 mitzvahs that we have to perform and perfect. If this would become a burden on a person, it would be very hard to do them. So Hashem put in the nature of every person that if you get to like doing mitzvahs, you'll actually run after them. Oev mitzvahs, lo yizba mitzvahs. If you actually get to liking to do mitzvahs, then the second one will be easier than the first one. And the third one will be easier than the second one. And when you get to the fifth and the tenth, or the 20th or the 100th time doing a mitzvah, you'll see it'll become much easier. And as a matter of fact, there will come a point in time where you will love to do mitzvahs so much that you'll never be satiated of mitzvahs. That's where a point where a person could come to. But that's now a natural feeling. So the natural feeling, Shlomo HaMelech says, goes whatever you desire. Whatever the kesef that you desire is, whether it's money, whether it's power, whether it's honor, or whether it's mitzvahs, or whether it's Torah. You see, those great rabbis never had enough from Torah. They were insatiable. They just went more and more and more and more. And the same thing could be with mitzvahs. So this is, again, it's like something that we can use for the good or use for the bad. So there is a Chazal, a Gemara, that tells us, which is well known, Kinasay from Tarbe Chachma, that the jealousy of scholars, the jealousy of one who is doing the right thing, the jealousy of someone who has accomplished a lot, someone who does a lot of mitzvos, actually increases one's own commitment and increases one's own wisdom. If I see someone who's a great scholar and I see he's learning so much and he's so wise, then I could be jealous of that and I'll want to do that also. I see someone doing so many mitzvos, I'm jealous of that person and I'll do more mitzvos. And that seems to be a good trait. That's kinna used in the right way. The only thing is, it's really walking a tightrope. Because how do we know that the kinna that we're having is the good kinna or the bad kinna? How do I know that when I'm admiring this person, am I just admiring them and would like to be like them, would like to imitate them to the extent that I can and better myself? Or how do I know it's really because I'm jealous of that person? And sometimes it's hard to tell.
Are you saying the difference, like, not what the person is doing, but the actual person?
I observe somebody else doing something positive. Okay? So the Chazal tell us that my feeling of jealousy towards that person could actually be something positive. It could instigate me, it can motivate me to do more. Okay? And that seems to be a very positive trait. That if it will motivate me to do more, then it's good. So here we have the side of kin, the side of jealousy, which could actually be used in a positive way. And again, why one reason why Hashem gave us this midah of kin. Two examples how we would know that it's not stemming from the good midah. It's not stemming from I'm just admiring the person and seeing, wow, look how great this person has become, and look how easy they do mitzvahs, or look how many mitzvahs they tried to accomplish in a week, or look how they daven so well, etc., etc. How do I know what it's coming from? So two ideas are pointed out. One is, a person should ask themselves, I see this person has accomplished so much. They have raised their children to be wonderful children. So respectful, so kind, so polite. Each one a real mensch. And I'm jealous of that person. And I say, oh, my jealousy stems from something good because I want to try to copy that person. So I have to ask myself, if I see that person's kid one time mess up, will that give me a good feeling or not? If whatever I'm jealous of this person davens so wonderfully, and I say, oh, that person's davening, why can't I daven that way? I'm going to use this to motivate myself to daven. So then I ask myself, you know, one time if I see that person not davening so well, does that make me feel a little bit happier, more content or not? That's a good yardstick to know where the midah is coming from. Is it stemming from something good or is it stemming from something bad? Another way is, how do I talk about that person? Am I willing to load compliments about that person? The person who I think is really smarter than me. And I think they really do things better than me. So, is my jealousy coming from, well, I see them do these things so well, maybe I should do that too? Well, when I have to talk about them to somebody else, and I have to describe them, and describe the person's virtues, do I say it the way I would want someone to say my own virtues? Do I compliment those people in the way that I would like to be complimented, or not? And if I don't, then I have to ask myself, is this kinna? Is this a kinna sofrim? Is this really a jealousy which is a motivating jealousy, or is this the harmful jealousy? So as with most things, it's always good to look into the Torah and see, where does this first occur in the Torah? Where's the first episode of a situation of jealousy, and see why it happened and see what the results were and see how harmful it could be. So what's the first place? Where's the first place of jealousy in the Torah? Cain and Abel. Okay? It's a very good. That is the number two answer. You get a consolation prize. Do not worry. Oh, the moon and the sun. Very good. The moon and the sun is also an example of that. Okay, that actually is not brought in the Torah. That's brought in Chazal. We see it from Sukkim in the Torah. That is true, and it's very pertinent. And I don't think we're going to get there's a whole discussion about that. But I don't think we're going to get to it this evening. We'll have to save it for another Rosh Chodesh. That the story about the moon and the sun. Even before is the serpent. The Nachash was jealous of Chava. Okay, and as part of a whole list the Gemara delineates of 12 different, can't say people, although the Nachash before the sin, some understand, was like a human being. Certainly we know it had human features, and maybe it even had Bechira. Okay, but 12 different episodes that the Gemara tells us about those who wanted what they didn't have, and not only did they not get it, but what they had was taken away. And the Nachash is the first example. But Cain, the first of human beings that we know of, is Cain and Hevel, Cain and Abel. What was the story over there? The two of them, the two brothers, bring a sacrifice, they bring a korban to Hashem. Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to do. It's what we call a mitzvah. That's what they were doing. And the Torah tells us, Vayisha Hashem al Hevel velvin chaso. And God turns to Hevel, he's pleased with Hevel, and he's pleased with his offering. And Vel Kayin, Vel Mincha, so Lo Sha'a. And to Kayin, and to his Mincha, Hashem did not pay any attention. The fire didn't come and consume his karba. And the Torah tells us, Vayichar LeKayin Me'od. Kayin was extremely annoyed by this, and angry at this. Vayiplu Panav, and he was upset. What was he upset about? Was he upset that, God, why didn't you accept my carbon? Was it like someone who davens and Hashem didn't answer him? Was that the feeling here? So Siporno tells us, Vayichal Kain Ma'od, why was he very annoyed? He says because he was jealous of his brother. That's what the feeling stemmed from. Because he was jealous that his brother's was accepted. Which means the Torah is telling us that had he been alone and had he brought an offering and it wouldn't have been accepted, all right, I must have done something wrong, let me change it, let me fix it for the next time. But the fact that his brother's was accepted and not his, that he couldn't take. The jealousy of his brother. And for that he became angry. And we know the end of that story was, the Torah tells us right then, that Cain killed his brother. Cain killed his brother. It aided him so much that it led him to murdering his brother. So we say that was like, 5,000 some odd years ago. That was Cain, Hevel, because we needed a story like that. There's another pasuk in the Torah. This is in Parsha Shoftim. Parsha Shoftim, it talks about someone who kills unintentionally, by accident, and the laws pertaining to that. And then it tells us about someone who kills intentionally. And this is the way the Torah tells about someone who kills intentionally. It says, V'chiyye ish sone l'reyeyu. If someone will hate his friend, v'arav lo, and he will devise a plan against him, and ambush him, v'kama lo, and get up against him, v'yiko nefesh, and kill him, and then the person will die, and then the laws pertaining to that person. So Rashi's bothered by the following question. What do you have to give this whole description of the what was happening beforehand? Just say if a person will get up against his friend, just say v'chiyakim ish. If a person gets up, v'arav l're'ayu v'hika nefesh. What's wrong with saying that? If a person will get up and murder his friend, well, these are the halachas, these are the laws that pertain. Instead, the Torah tells us if a person will hate his friend and then get up and kill him, then these are the laws. So the Torah is giving us another message over here. The Torah is teaching us another lesson. That this person was transgressed, as Rashi tells us, transgressed on a very small mitzvah, or a small aveira. What small aveira? He transgressed the aveira of lo sisna sechicha b'vach. Do not hate your brother. Where does hatred come from? Hatred, Chazal tell us, comes most of the time from jealousy. And the Torah is telling us that if one ends up being jealous of his friend and then coming to hate his friend, that's what will lead up to the point where he tried to hurt his friend or tried to murder his friend. That's what the Torah is telling us. It's not just a story from a different era, from Cain and Hevel, but it can happen continuously because the Torah is eternal. And this is what could happen. And we hear stories like this on the news. Thank goodness most of the time is not with Jewish people, but from jealousy it leads to even the worst things that a person can do. So let's try to discuss three, maybe four, practical aitzes, practical suggestions to how to deal and perhaps fix this character trait that we have of kinnah. So we will start with Ramchal again. And Ramchal in Mesilas Yesharim tells us, like he started saying before, that really kinnah is only foolishness. It's only a lack of thinking, a lack of understanding, because we're only harming ourselves. We don't gain. The other person doesn't lose. No matter what that person is saying, no matter what I think, and how much it upsets me, or annoys me, or angers me, that person will still be as smart as he was, that person will still look the same, that person will still have the same spouse, the same house, things will be the same. From my anger, my jealousy, it will not change. So the Ramchal tells us, this is the way you should deal with it. He says, Lu yadu, velu yavinu. Had only a person known, and if only a person understands, ki ein adam nogeya bamuchan lachaveiro afilu kamalo nima, that a person cannot get what is set aside and what has been apportioned to another person, even a hair's breadth. Nothing that person was supposed to get will come to me, and nothing that I am supposed to get will come to that other person. You thought we're not talking about Amunah in this class. We thought jealousy. It's just everything boils down to Amunah. That's always. So the Ramchal tells this is the way you deal with this. The way you deal with kinnah is you have to put things in the proper perspective. You have to have the proper frame of mind and the proper Amunah. And we have to believe and we have to repeat this to ourselves and internalize it again and again. That nothing that I have that is supposed to be to me will be to somebody else, and nothing that is to somebody else will be to me. V'hakol ka'asher la'kol me'Hashem hu. It's only Hashem who distributes exactly what has to be apportioned to each person. Kifi atzaso ha'nefla, according to His great and wondrous wisdom. V'chachmaso ha'bilti nodas, and His wisdom, which is beyond our understanding of why that person had to be wealthy and I didn't, or why that person had to be so smart and not me, or why that person had to be so accomplished, etc., etc. Hashem knew exactly what that person needed and when that person needed it. And if I think that person has more than me, whether it's in the realm of materialism, whether it's the realm of spirituality, that person needed it and I don't need it. If a person would think this, says the Ramchal, Hine lo yoyo lehem tam lehitstar betovas re'eim kalal. If a person would believe this, if he'd know this, he would feel this, then a person would never be jealous of another person. He wouldn't be jealous of what other person has. He believes exactly what that person has because they needed that. They were supposed to get that. What I have, what I need, I have, and that's the way Hashem does it. This is really, before Ramchal said this, one of the Rishonim said this, is really the famous Ibn Ezra in Parshas Yisro, where the Torah tells us in one of the Aseret Sedirot, was the final of the Ten Commandments, we are told, Lo Sachmot, don't covet, don't be jealous of another person, of whatever they have. Don't be jealous of them. And the Ibn Ezra asked, how could God command me not to be jealous? I mean, this is a feeling I have. I mean, I see that that person has X, Y, and Z, and this I want. How can you tell me don't want it? And he gives the famous marshal of the farmer, who one day gets a trip to the place where the palace is, because there's a one-day time to be able to view the palace. And this hillbilly, this farmer, comes and he sees the princess. Beautiful princess, dressed so nicely. Does the farmer think, wow, I would want to marry the princess? Not for more than a second. Says the Ben Ezra, why? Because he knows he's a farmer, she's a princess. There's no way in the world that he would be able to marry the princess. It just doesn't go. It's just not a shidduch. No shadchan would ever make that shidduch. So he knows that it's not for him. And if it's not for him, so he's not jealous. If he's not for him, it doesn't hurt him. It doesn't harm him. It doesn't affect him emotionally, because it's not for him. Says the Ibn Ezra, the same thing a person has to think, one second, I'm not a farmer. And this is not a princess. This is my neighbor. This is my next door neighbor. This is the person I sit next to in shul. We're the same. We went to the same school. Our kids are in the same class. We work in the same job. That's a person I could be jealous of. Says the Ibn Ezra, no. My neighbor sitting next to me, the one who sits next to me in shul, the one who we have the same kids, that's the same distance as the farmer and the princess. And therefore the Torah says, lo sachmor. Because if a person would know what Ramchal tells us, lu yadu v'lu even a person known, that ein adam nogeya bamuchan lachavera afilu k'malo nima. No one gets what he's not supposed to get, and everybody gets exactly v'akol asher l'akol mi Hashem. Then a person will be able to deal with it. Then a person will be sameach b'chol, will be happy and content with his lot, and then will not be jealous of others. A second suggestion, a second eitzah, which is related to the first one, is on the idea of sameach b'chelko. And that is, if a person was ever had the zechus, ever had the privilege, also a gilgal, of making a chasana for one's own child. And during the chasana, a person is getting all these blessings of Mazel Tov from all his close friends, and someone steps on his toe. Does that faze the person an iota? Does the person even notice it? If he notices it, does he care? Does he care if someone bumps into him, if someone brushes against him? No. When a person is at the height of his simcha, and feels he was blessed so much by Hashem that he's actually bringing a child to the chuppah, he feels so elated that nothing bothers him. Even people who really rub him the wrong way usually, he's okay with them. He can dance with them. He can kiss them. It doesn't bother him because he is so besimcha. He is so happy and content with what he has now that it doesn't faze him. It doesn't bother him what other people have. Even those people he's usually jealous of. That's the way we are. So if a person, obviously we can't always feel as if we're always making a chasana every night, we would go broke. But if a person could always feel that what he has, all the blessings that Hashem does give a person, if he would count his blessings and always feel in a state of simcha, look how much I have, that would be easier to deal with anybody else that he feels has different or has more. It's actually a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah tells us there were 10 miracles that occurred in the Beis HaMikdash on a regular basis. And certainly in the time when there was the Aliyah L'Regel, when people went up to visit Yerushalayim the 3 times a year. And the final one, the 10th of the Nisan, which we call a miracle, is Shlo Omar Adam Lachavero. No one ever said to his friend when they came to be for an extended period of time, at least a week or perhaps more, in Yerushalayim, no one ever said, Sarli Hamokom Sha'olam Yerushalayim. It's crowded here, it's uncomfortable here, I don't want to stay here overnight, I'd rather just leave. No one ever said that. Everybody always felt comfortable, everyone always felt they had what they needed in Yerushalayim. And Rashi tells us that's because Hashem made a miracle. And Hashem made it that everybody was provided with enough parnasa, enough food, enough sleeping quarters. Everyone has what they need. And when everyone has what they need, then nobody's jealous of anybody else. If everybody feels I have exactly what I need, then we're okay. Then we're okay that somebody else has also. If I feel I have so much, if I have $1 million, I don't really care so much that my friend has $1 million too. So that's another idea of how we deal with this, how we deal with this midah. Chazal actually tells us this in Avos Rabbi Nosson. Tells us that's one reason why Hashem made everybody different. Of the billions and billions of people that God created in this world, no two are the same. No two look alike. No two are exactly as bright as one another. Everybody has different. Everybody is different in myriads of ways. And the Chazal tell us why. That's because everybody has to know that Hashem made me special in this way. So that's why Hashem made everybody different. That everyone could point to something and feel, I should be so besimcha, I should be so happy in what I have, in my situation, personally, family situation, job related, in anything. That I have that special from Hashem, and that should bring a person to not being jealous of his friend. My Rebbe once told a story. It's in a somewhat different message, but it pertains over here as well, I believe. There were once two friends, very close friends, and one of them had a very rich uncle who came to visit one week. And he took the boys out, everything together. He took the boys out, they went out to restaurants, they went to amusement parks, and he just treated them royally for that week that he came by. At the end of the week, he was going to go back, and before he left, he took $100 out of his pocket, and he told his nephew, this is some spending money for you, because I'm leaving, this is yours. Everything that he had, his friend knew about, and when the uncle left, so the friend says, oh, I give you $100, and we were so close, and I also went, you think you can give me $50 of that? You give me half, maybe just 25 of it. Maybe just share it with me. So reluctantly, the friend did give it. Wasn't happy about it, but didn't want to ruin the friendship. Didn't want to be greedy, and he gave a portion of the money to his friend. So then, my Rebbe said, let's change this scenario just a bit. Let's say two good friends, one of them has a very rich uncle, and the uncle comes to stay for a week, and they spend time together, they went to restaurants, and they go to amusement parks, and he treated them very nicely for the week. And at the end of the week, the rich uncle is going back home, and he calls his nephew over, and he says, I want to leave you with some money before I leave. See, here's $100, 50 for you, and 50 for your friend. Then it becomes so much easier to give $50 to his friend. Why is that? I'm only ending up with 50. That's because I'm happy that I had 50 more than I had before. My uncle was going to give it to me. I'm happy because this is the way he wanted it to be. If that's the way we understand it, so then what I have, the Mesillas Yerushalayim says, that's exactly what I was supposed to get. That's what my rich uncle in heaven gave me. He gave it to me. And what he gave somebody else, he gave my friend, well, that's what he gave him. That's not for me. And what he has is not. Is, what he has is for him. And what I have is for him, is for me. And we'll give one more suggestion. And before we say the final suggestion, it's interesting to note where how this midah operates, and even in a more psychological fashion, how this operates. Because Rashi tells us in Parshas Pinchas that kinna means nekama. Jealousy means revenge. And what is that supposed to mean? So my Rebbe explained as follows. Kinna also really comes from the word kinyan. Kayan also had that shorish in his name. Kinna comes from as follows. I see that somebody who I see as a peer, someone similar to me, has something, was blessed with something from Hashem. And I believe it came from Hashem. The problem is, my mind is playing tricks on me and saying, one second, why did that person get that? Why is that person so smart? Why is that person so wealthy? Why does this person have so many friends? Why does the person have such a good kid? All the things that I may be jealous of. And I say to myself, why did that person get it? He's such a good person? He's such a righteous person? I mean, I'm a pretty good and righteous person myself. So really what I say to myself is that, you know, what that person has and what that person was blessed with, really I should deserve. I deserve that because I know I'm a righteous person. And really Hashem should have blessed me. Now I don't want to be a denier of God, so I leave God out of the picture for the time being. And I say, you know, what that person has, really I should have gotten. As a matter of fact, what he has really should have been mine. So really, he's a thief. Really, what he has was mine, was really belonged to me, it was my kinyan. And he took it, he's really a thief. Well, if he's a thief, of course I may take revenge. Of course I may take revenge. And that's why, as I heard in the second Luchos, the second Aseres HaDibros, it's Lo Tirzach, Lo Velo Tinov, Velo Tignov, Velo Sane Briach HaShem, Velo Sachmod, it all ends, Velo Sesav, it all ends at do not desire what someone else has. And all is adding on to the nexus of the next Revav in each one, because the jealousy of one can lead to robbery, it can lead even to Lo Sirzach. That's the way the Midah works. With this is understood why jealousy is so apparent and is so prevalent in siblings. Because a sibling, any attention, anything they're not getting from the parent, certainly they think, well, I'm just as deserving as my brother or my sister. Why should he be sitting on his father's lap and not me? Why should he be getting this special treatment and not me? There's more of that entitlement. There's more of that sense of feeling that I deserve it more. I certainly deserve it, whether they think that consciously or not. So we have to take this lesson of Ramchal to heart. If only a person would know that exactly what is supposed to be coming to him comes to him. And exactly what the other person has, the other person will get. And it will not change even a hair's breadth. And the final suggestion if all else fails, we should say, if one cannot have enough emunah to think of what the Ramchal tells us, if one cannot always feel a tremendous simcha in his own life with all the blessings that Hashem has given him, if all else fails, there's one more suggestion that a person could say to themselves. And there was a great Rav in Eretz Yisrael, his name is Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. And one day he met a non-religious Jew who says, Rabbi, I have to ask you something that's bothering me. He says, I live in a wonderful community. I have a nice job, a nice family. I'm very happy with life. And he says, it seems to me that I'm not really a jealous person. I'm very content, very happy with my lot. But I tell you, my friend down the block just bought a new car. A fancy car with leather seats. And I felt jealous. And he says, Rabbi, I don't understand. How do I deal with this? Why am I jealous? What is this? So Rabbi Zilberstein says to himself, in the few seconds that he has to think, he says, you know, this I can't tell this whole speech to this person. Tell him that it says Lo Sachmod and the Ibn Ezra's mashal with the farmer, and he won't listen to that. Maybe I should tell him what the Mesilas Yeshua, he's not going to listen to that. So he says, under his breath, he offers up a tefillah to Hashem, please put into my mouth the right words to say. So he tells the person, he says, you like his new car. He says, your friend who just bought a new car, he says, he suffers from an ulcer, right? And this guy says, Rabbi, how did you know that? How did you know that? Indeed, he's a very sick man. He does have an ulcer. How did you know that? So Rabbi Zilberstein didn't tell him how he knew it. He didn't tell him because he probably wouldn't believe that he just davened to Hashem for the right answer. But with Siyat Dishmaya, anything could happen. Hashem put those words into his mouth. And then he told him, let me tell you one pasuk. One pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, Velosis ave beis reyacha. That one should not desire to have beis reyacha, what the other person has in his house, including everything that the person has in his house. Sadeyu, or his field. Va'avdo, or his servant. Va'amoso, and his maidservant. Shoro, his ox. Vachamoro, and his donkey. Seems like we took care of everything. And the pasuk says, V'chol ashel reyacha, and everything that your friend has. What does the Torah have to elaborate and list in great detail, and then say, and everything that your friend has? So Reb Zilberstein says, you know why? Because the Torah is telling us, if you like his ox, and you like his car, and you like his bias, and you like this, and you like that, he says, if you want that, then you have to have a chol ashel reyacha. You have to have everything that he has. And sometimes we don't want everything. We want to pick and choose. So he says, if you want to pick and choose, that you can't have. If you want v'chol ashel reyacha, you want his ulcer too, then you can have his car as well. So if all else fails, this too is an eitzah for a person to stop himself from being jealous of somebody else. It's better to have the Ramchal suggestion, better to always repeat this to ourselves every day, maybe a few times a day. That everything that I have, ain't adam nogea b'mucha l'chavir afilukum le'nima. And everything that I'm supposed to have, everything that I need, Hashem provides. Agun Chodesh.